Pop quiz, Bill Landis. You are back on the podcast daily. It is Monday. The NFL draft is over, and you have to answer this question right now. True or false? Ohio State will have more first-round NFL draft picks in 2025 than they had total draft picks in 2024.
That's a really good question. I think I would say no, but I think it could be close. So they have to have five first-round picks next year, right?
They've got
to
have five.
Five's a lot. I don't want to pretend like five is easy. I know we've seen Ohio State do it, so maybe it feels like it's easy, but five's a lot. So I'll say false but close.
False but close. He's going to take a tie maybe, huh?
Yeah, a tie. Maybe a tie. Yeah.
Okay. He's Bill Landis. I'm Austin Ward. I think they're going to do it, and I understand that, like, that's the knee-jerk reaction, and I try and make this concession every year when the early mock drafts come out and they have 10 Buckeyes in the top 60 players. That, like, it's just really easy to put Ohio State's talent into these mock drafts because they're highly recruited players. They're playing at a high level for a national title contender. They've got a lot of brand and name recognition of their own. So, like, you're going to see that a lot. And I bet every mock draft that we see for the next, I don't know, week or so, the immediate ones that skip ahead to 2025 already will have more than four Ohio State players in them. And I think there's good reason for that. Like, Denzel Burke is, I think, going to be a first round draft pick. I think Jack Sawyer is probably going to be a first round draft pick. I think JT Tuimolo has a very good chance of being a first round draft pick. Then it gets a little bit more interesting. And I think that Will Howard may be the test case. If you're going to get to five, like, he's got to be one of them, right? And after the NFL went nuts with taking six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, I wonder if he was kicking himself at all, Bill. Like, that could be really good for 2025 if they do that again. Or maybe everyone will look back at the passing rush in 2024 and be like, ooh, that wasn't such a good idea because Bo Nix went number 12.
Yeah, there was like 120 something picks, right, between Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler. I think Will Howard probably could have found himself in the middle of those two picks. Where exactly, I'm not entirely sure. Part of the reason why I hesitate to go all in on the first round crop being that large next year is because I Will Howard would have to make like a monster leap, I think, to be a first round quarterback in anyone's eyes. Now, to your point, like, he probably will be in a quarterback class that people aren't all that enamored with. And again, to your point, Bo Nix went the first round. So, like, quarterbacks go higher than they should often. So maybe that will play into Will Howard's favor. But I think from, like, a pure talent standpoint, I don't know that he checks a lot of boxes other than being tall to be a first round quarterback. But if you're telling me that he's going to be a first rounder, then yeah, I think five is well within reason. Like, I when I was trying to figure out that number, I wasn't even including him. I was on the two defensive ends, Denzel Burke, Emeka Ibuka, and then I don't know, like, Ty Leg Williams, if he goes nuts at the combine, or like Sonny Styles, or perhaps CJ Hicks as an early entrant, like, go nuts at the combine and someone falls in love with them and they become a first round pick. So it's weird to, like, not include the quarterback at Ohio State in that conversation. But I don't think we're quite into that territory with Will Howard yet. And, like, you know, ask me again in October, and maybe I'll sound like an idiot saying this now, in April, a year before the 2025 NFL draft. But if that's going to happen, then yeah, I think it's well within reason that the five could potentially happen next year.
Yeah, you put, you know, Lathan Ransom in that consideration, Jordan Hancock as well. Like, there's going to be people that fall in love with the athleticism of those guys. Now, it may be a situation where Ohio State has three or four first round draft picks, and then the top 60 and top 90 becomes a flood, which would be very similar to what Michigan just did. You can certainly and absolutely win a national title without necessarily having four plus first round draft picks. That is not a requirement, but it does seem to be pretty strong correlation when you look at some of the Georgia teams, the Alabama teams, Michigan a year ago. You need to be approaching double-digit draft picks. And I think the guys that we mentioned for Ohio State there, that's not even, you know, dipping in below the top 10, I guess, which we rattled those names off pretty quickly. Like, this is going to be a double-digit draft class, and it's going to be because so many of them decided to stick around, which is how Ohio State wound up with, I believe, their It was the lowest number in a draft class for Ohio State four in the last 11 years. It's very an unusual situation for them. Although, as we've said many times, dating back to the combine and pro day, it is because so many of these guys decided to put it off for one more year and one more shot at a national title.
Yeah. So the fewest since the 2013 three-man class, right? It was Jonathan Hankins, John Simon, Reed Friegel, I think were the three. And so one of our texters, like I saw it the other day when I was on vacation, said like, oh, the experts said Ohio State was going to have a double digit draft class this year. It's like, well, yeah, they were gonna, and then all the guys decided to come back. Right. So they're going to definitely have one this year, this or the next draft, like comfortably. So, the record is 15 and we do this a lot of off seasons. Like, is Ohio State going to have a record number of draft picks and that doesn't quite get there. So like, maybe it won't get there again in 2025, but they got a heck of a chance to push for it. I think easily you get to like 11 or 12 without having to twist your brain all that much. And then it's like guys, like I mentioned earlier, like do Sonny Styles and CJ Hicks maybe declare after 3 years. I don't know. Does someone like Josh Simmons like make a really big jump and decide that he wants to go to the NFL after this year? That's probably on the table. So you could have a pool of probably 17 or 18 players and with a chance to make a run at that 15. That's kind of the position that Michigan was in with, I forget exactly how many they ended up sending to the NFL combine, but they only ended up with 13 draft picks. But people thought they might push for a record just because the pool of players that were eligible for the draft and even borderline candidates was rather large. And we're used to Ohio State being in that position. It's been a couple of years, you know, since it's been that way. And frankly, the draft output should be a little better, but this one comes with an asterisk, I think, too, because like, as we said, like, I don't know how many guys, what, seven probably draftable players decided to come back. Maybe I'm just off the top of my head. Maybe it's more than that, but it's odd, I guess, for Ohio State to not be in the conversation for most selections from a single school in a given draft, but there's a reason for that. And that reason is also the reason why they'll be squarely in the conversation next year.
Yeah, and then the weekend was also a reminder that it's still very hard to get drafted. You mentioned Michigan players that went to the combine, and then, you know, we don't cover that team on a day-to-day basis. We cover Ohio State. You could have made a case 2 months ago, be like, well, I mean, someone is definitely going to take Steel Chambers after as much football as he's played. The measurable skills of Josh Proctor and the fact that he ended his career on a high note for the Buckeyes at safety, he's got to be in position to be a draft pick. Xavier Johnson, people will talk themselves into the variety of ways that he can help and he can be used on special teams. Matt Jones has played a ton of football. Like, those guys all wound up with undrafted free agent deals, which is no small thing. You've still accomplished something and you have a chance to make a team, but there are a finite number of spots in the NFL draft. It gets harder and harder. You don't just get to automatically do it because you played at Ohio State. And so that plays into not only this conversation about the first round, which is the cream of the crop and where teams are, I don't know how everyone is making their decisions because the Falcons took Michael Penix at number 8, but you know, that's also part of it. Teams do weird things and there's only 32 spots there. So it's hard. And it's like, it's not an indictment on the Ohio State players who didn't get drafted. It's not an indictment of where those four guys who did get selected go. Like, it's hard. And all you really need is a shot. And I know that that's like, sounds like a backhanded compliment, but when we're projecting some of these things forward and like, oh, can they be 15, 16, 17? Can the whole offensive line wind up getting drafted? Like, maybe, but a lot of things have to happen between now and not just August, but next April.
Yeah. So the number, I looked it up as you were talking, Michigan had 18 guys invited to the combine and 13 were drafted. So I actually wonder, 5 combine players not getting drafted might be a record.
That's not the kind of history that you want to make.
Makes me want to go look that up and see if that's actually the case. No, you're right. Like, and I think the thing that was different about this draft, like I was probably only surprised by Josh Proctor not getting drafted of all the guys who were UDFAs. Like Doug and I went through this exercise last week on Kings of Columbus before I took a few days off. And I think I had Proctor getting picked. He did not, but that was like sort of a cutoff point. And I thought Josh might have gotten picked just because like all the athletic traits that we've talked about his entire career there, and he had a really good season, but he's also older and like has some injury stuff. So I guess it's not terribly surprising that he wasn't picked. But then the rest of the crop that Ohio State had out there was sort of like guys where it's going to take a team or two, like really falling in love with them, I think, to pick them. But next year's class will have guys like that for sure, but not till you get to like number 13 or 14 in the class, I think. Right. So like, it's not, I don't know that, assuming that everyone comes out. Right. And I don't even know. I think most of the guys probably we're talking about have to come out at this point. I would be really stunned if we're sitting here this time next year, not talking about a double digit draft class. Like it'd be a lot of things would have to go wrong, frankly, I think, for it not to be a double digit draft class. There are guys who are going to be on the fence at the back end of that class, but the depth of next year's NFL talent pool coming out of Ohio State is going to rival some of the best we've seen. Maybe not at the top end. We'll have to see how that plays out. They've had some incredible first round classes in the last 10 years or so, but just overall guys who are like, are definitely going to play in the NFL. I think it's a number that you get to 10 easily with what's coming out next year.
For this class that was drafted over the last couple of days, Bill, as you said, you and Doug went through this and sort of mock drafted it and projected where it was going to go. So this could be easy for you to answer. Did any of those four draft selections surprise you? Did good or bad, I guess. What's the way that played out for the Buckeyes over the weekend?
No, I don't think so. It kind of went the way I thought it would. I guess I would say that there seemed to be no consensus on who the number two tight end was in the draft. So it felt to me like maybe Cade Stover could be anywhere from like tight end two to like tight end six, depending on who you talk to. And actually, I don't have in front of me where exactly he fell in the pecking order of his particular position. I thought he'd go a little earlier in the first round. The pick that I picked for him in the exercise we did, it was the Panthers with the first pick in the fourth round, and they did draft a tight end. It just wasn't Cade Stover. So I probably would have had Cade a little higher in the fourth round, maybe with a chance to get into the third round, depending on where he fell on team's boards. But aside from that, I thought it was probably what I expected. Like, obviously, Marvin was going to go in the top five. I think it was probably just a question of whether or not someone was going to trade up to four to get a quarterback before Marvin went off the boards. And maybe Marvin would end up going to play for Jim Harbaugh, but instead Arizona stayed there and took him at number four. Tommy Eichenberg went about where I thought he'd go. And Mike Hall is an interesting one, because like, I picked that exact spot to the Cleveland Browns for Mike Hall. And I think our texters were a little lower, and meaning he would have gotten drafted later on where Mike Hall would have gone. And I think the consensus was also a little bit lower on him as well. And it was interesting to me, like I was listening to just some draft recap stuff, and I heard people talking about like there were maybe some character concerns for Mike Hall, which I found interesting, which like I don't know that we've ever caught wind of in the 3 years we covered him at Ohio State. But like to the point where he allegedly, I think it was Dane Brugler at The Athletic, said like Mike Hall wasn't on some people's draft boards at all. So like if I had known that going in, I guess I would have been surprised by Mike Hall going where he did in the second round to Cleveland. But I figured a team might take a pretty big swing on a guy that has the upside of Mike Hall. Maybe it's a little boom or bust, but so I guess like that one probably qualifies as a little bit surprising for like NFL people, but I don't know that it was surprising for us who were close to Ohio State.
If you're getting picks exactly right into the second round, you need to be like tapping in fully to the mock draft market. I didn't know that you were so good at this.
I wasn't. I'm not good at it. All I do is like go through other mock drafts and find a like. So for what's what I did for Mike Hall is like, oh, this person has the Browns drafting a defensive tackle, and Mike Hall is 10 picks after that. I'm just going to move Mike Hall up into that first slot so that I'm slightly different from someone else's mock draft. So there's actually really no thought at all that goes into it, nor is there any expertise.
Yeah. I'm always amused by what counts to these anonymous. They don't even have to be scouts. They can be anybody. Anonymous people handing scouting reports that come across as and say character issues. They could be anything. Like the only thing that even remotely comes into mind with me and my experience covering Mike Hall was that I did not feel like or witness him having as great of a relationship with Larry Johnson as many other Ohio State defensive linemen do. And that, I think, spilled out in some games on the sideline where you could see that he wanted playing time. And I'm not talking specifically about the Michigan State game with the 7-8 snaps and 3 sacks. Like, that was an injury situation. I think the rotation irritated Mike Hall throughout his career more than it maybe it has other players. And that could for some people be, oh, that's a character issue. He didn't get along with Larry Johnson. That's one of the greatest assistant coaches in the history of college football. If he can't do it, we can't coach him. Like, that's the only thing I can even remotely think of. There's nothing that I have ever been aware of off the field for Mike Hall that would be like, don't take him. That was even before he got to Ohio State. It was like charity, this stuff, and work ethic, and giving back to the community. Yeah. Like that. That's always been part of Mike Hall's brand. That I hate what that part of the draft, like character issues. Okay, well, can you be more specific than that? Because that's painting with a pretty wide brush.
Yeah, character issues can mean a whole lot. And I like even if because I you know I saw some of the same things on the sideline sometimes with Mike and Larry, but then like Larry was at Mike's draft party, like standing behind him with a cell phone recording him like it was on his own son getting drafted. So like,
right.
It's not like they had a terrible relationship, even if they were frosty at times on the sideline because Mike wanted to play more. I have no idea. That like caught my ear in a pretty shocking way when I heard that. I don't know what it could have been other than like Mike Hall is young. I think he's 20. So like maybe there's just general maturity things you worry about when a guy is that young going to the NFL, but I don't know. I thought it was cool to see him get drafted by his hometown team too. So I really hope it works out for him and the Browns.
Yeah, Streetsboro down to Columbus and then up to Cleveland. And again, when I say I chose those words carefully, not the best is like doesn't mean bad. Like,
yeah,
Mike Hall and Larry, like if you don't get along, you had multiple opportunities to leave if you were Mike Hall. I wasn't suggesting that if there was some rift or that's why Mike Hall went off to the NFL draft with 1 year of eligibility left or anything like that. That's just the way it goes. And if people are going through and scrutinizing every detail, interactions on a sideline or wondering about snap counts and all those things inside the game, that's going to be picked apart by these people. That's what they do. That's how you see such weird decisions when they're trying to make million-dollar decisions for the good of a franchise. You know, some do it better than others, but that, again, if that's what you're putting down as a character issue for Mike Hall, good for the Cleveland Browns that they ignored that and got the guy that they seem to want there in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the Browns didn't have any concerns because I don't think you draft a guy that high. And also, too, I think when there are those concerns, like you worry about, like, is it the best thing in the world to like have this guy stay home, right? And they didn't care about that either. So I almost hesitated to bring it up because like it sounded like strange and unfounded to me. But I just thought it was odd that was even mentioned. But thankfully for Mike, it didn't impact his draft stock because the Browns took him pretty early.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I didn't know about it until afterwards because I would have been one of those things that I get worked up about, kind of like I did last week when people were saying that Marvin Harrison Jr. was not the best wide receiver in this draft. I'm like, just how? Like, please, yeah. don't say it anonymously. If you're gonna, if that's what you believe, like, put your name on and explain how you came to that conclusion. Like, I would respect that if somebody said, well, you know what, we think Malik Nabers is a more gifted athlete. I would think that that's crazy, but at least if you said it and you put your name on it, be like, okay, well, we know who you would take. Nobody else is going to. Marvin is going before Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze and everybody else. But that part of the draft process, and that happens now even down with the transfer portal and all this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I just hate it. Like, the anonymous stuff is the worst.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I'm thankful that reason prevailed and Marv went as the first receiver. And like Malik Nabers is great and Rome Odunze is great. And you know, I try very hard during this time of year to like not just be the guy who covers Ohio State and says that Ohio State's players are better than everybody else's, because I understand that that's not always the case. It's often the case, but it's not always the case. but that conversation to me felt a little silly. And I guess it would have been okay for Marv, I suppose, if like he had fallen down the draft board and ended up going to a team that's a little more competent than the teams we're picking in the top five. But he deserved to be the first receiver taken, so I'm glad that he was.
I wish that he had slid a little bit as well, so that he wasn't playing for an undersized, fragile quarterback. but I'm sure he can help make Kyler Murray look even better. He's got a knack for doing that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, draft season for 2024 is over. Transfer portal season is almost over as well. Whatever happens here at the deadline for Ohio State, we'll get into that. on the podcast daily Tuesday. And later on this week, we'll also be back in Roosters, as always, on Monday afternoon for a fun, casual conversation with Bobby Carpenter and Justin Zwick. And then what else you got this week? Got more Kings coming?
Yeah, we'll do a Kings of Columbus on what, I'm not exactly sure. Kings of the North, where I think we have like our final spring recap. And then later in the week, we'll do like a transfer portal wrap up kind of deal after the window closes on Tuesday.
All right. And then Bill Landis and I will have some more spring reviews of the position groups. We've got a lot more to get into as April turns to May. Thanks for joining us to start this week on the podcast daily. I'm Austin Ward. He's Bill Landis. We'll see you later.